Well, good morning, everybody. Glad you guys are all here and joining us this morning. For those of you guys who don't know me, my name is Matt Early. I'm one of the elders here at church. And this last year, I was on a sabbatical, which if you don't know what a sabbatical is, basically you just step away from what you're doing for a bit. It's a time to rest and reflect and kind of take a look at yourself and figure out, okay, where am I at? Where does God have me? What's God doing in my life? And sometimes stepping away is a good time to do that. So that's what I was doing this last calendar year, and it was an awesome time. It was an awesome time of taking that time away and seeing, okay, where does God have me? Where does he have me going? What's going on in my life? And so I did that, and so it's been a while since I've been up here, so Lord help me, I am nervous. It is different. But David asked me to share basically on what God spoke to me during that time, what God showed me and what God shared with me, and my prayer is that you guys can take a little bit out of it too. And maybe since I haven't done it in a while, he doesn't trust me with Hebrews. So that's all good too. Okay. So the main thing that God was speaking to me was when I was on my sabbatical was about identity. Identity, who we are in Christ, who we are apart from Christ and who we are with Christ. If you haven't studied that out, it's an awesome topic. It's a great one to get into. But it was just totally God speaking to me. It's just one of those things that it's not like I was seeking out or anything like that. It's just God laid this on me just in perfect timing. And it was just an amazing time of reflecting on who God had me and then digging into Scripture to see who I am in him. So that's what we're going to be talking about today is identity crisis. Who are we? So has anybody here ever pretended to be somebody that you are not? Pretended to be someone you're not or fantasized about being somebody that you're not? So this is going to totally date me, but I remember growing up as a teenager, me and my cousins would jump onto chat rooms. Anybody remember what chat rooms were? There's a few gray hairs in here that do. Sweet. Well, we'd jump onto chat rooms just for kicks, and you're like dialoguing with all these people and everything. And I mean, we were young teenagers, and we just pretend to be like these cool older guys with these amazing stories and amazing physiques and stuff like that, talking to this super attractive teenage or young gal who on there who was probably some overweight 90-year-old guy. We don't know. But we'd be on there and we'd just totally ham it up and pretend all these things and everything. And it was entertaining. I mean, it was just like, Lord help us, we didn't get in any trouble doing that. But we'd pretend to be cool and popular and awesome in there. And it was just interesting dialogue, basically being in this chat room with a bunch of fakers, just pretending to be someone you're not. And the dialogue that came out of that was very entertaining. And Lord kept us out of danger in that, thankfully. So as a Christian or as a teenager, I was not a believer. And one thing that caught my eye and a lot of people's eyes, I really got into fantasy books as a teenager. Really loved reading fantasy books, watching fantasy movies, because I could lose myself in these characters. And many of you guys can maybe identify with that too. But I could lose myself in these characters and reading about these awesome heroes and their epic quests and all these things, because I could pretend that I could be that person. I could daydream about being that person. I could lose myself in that person and who they were. Because sometimes it was a lot better than what I was or where I was at. And I think that speaks a lot to our society today too. I mean, people aren't content with who they are, so they seek out to be something else. Maybe they're not content with their gender, so they want to switch and be a boy or a girl or something like that. Some aren't even content to be human. So like, I'll be a cat or a dog or something like that. They're not content with who they are. They're depressed with who they are. And so they try to change their identity to become someone else that we like better. And I did that a lot. And I see that in our society so many times. If any of you guys have seen the movie Ready Player One, which I wouldn't wholly recommend, but it's an interesting story of like this future dystopia where the world's all a mess, basically, and there's this online place called the Oasis, and you can choose your avatar, who you want to be in this world, and you can go be that person in that world, and it's just an escape. I mean, you can be whoever you want to be in this world, whatever you want to look like, whatever gender you want to have, whatever you want to do, have your special powers. You can be that superhero in this world and escape reality because the people didn't like reality. They wanted to get out of reality. go to be somewhere else. Why is that? Why do people seek that out? And that's a very realistic movie, because I see that so many times with people in online games now, and I've done that in online games. You get into these and you immerse yourself into this character because we don't like what we see when we look inside of ourselves. I didn't like who I was, and I didn't like, when I looked inside myself, I didn't like what I saw. So I could lose myself in pretending to be somebody who I saw was better than that, was better than where I was at now, that was happier than where I was at, cooler, more popular than who I was, more outgoing than who I was, things like that. But in the end, it just leads to depression and discouragement, because in the end, it was just me. In the end, it was just me, and I was who I was, and there was reality, and that was not good enough. So today, we get a look at who God says we are. What do the scriptures say about who we are? And how we struggle to accept that, and the challenges that we see, that we face accepting that. And again, there's no way to cover the vastness of our identity in Christ in one Sunday sermon. So my prayer is that you guys will hear this, and it'll stir up an interest in you, that you will study it out further and dive into it more, because there's a richness in there that's amazing that I pray that you guys will grasp. So my big idea today is that in Christ, we are loved and accepted children of God with eternal hope. Loved and accepted children of God with eternal hope. And we're going to read Ephesians 2, 1 through 10 on this, because this is one of my favorite ones. So this is Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. And it'll be up on the screen here too. And if you have your Bibles, you can jump into it too. One of my favorite verses. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no man may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That's a great verse. I could just say amen there and be good. But let's pray. Father, we just thank you, Father, for the beauty of your word, Lord. And as we dive into this rich passage, Lord, I just pray that you would open our hearts and minds, Father, to see who we are apart from you. And then who we are in you, Lord. And in and through that, we would see the richness and the beauty and the glory of your grace to us, Father, and what you've done for us. Just open our eyes afresh to see that, Lord. Give us a fresh appreciation for the salvation that you've given us, Lord. And for those who don't know you, that you would open their eyes to see the beauty and glory of who you are, Lord, and whet their appetite and put in a desire that for them, Lord, to see and to experience what you have done, to know you, our Savior and our Lord. Lord, bless this time. Be glorified in it. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Okay, well, I'm going to pull a David here and bring up a book, because that's what David does. So this was a book I read a lot when I was on my sabbatical, read it and reread it and studied it. It's called Who Am I? Our Identity in Christ by Jerry Bridges. It's a great read. It's a short one, nice short book, which I like those. Very simple and straightforward, not super heady, but awesome. And it was, God used it to spur a lot on me and change and touch my heart. So I'd recommend that. So first of all, identity. We're going to be kind of working our way through our identity here. We're starting off with our identity before Christ, our identity after Christ, and then the struggle that we have to get that, to maintain that identity in Christ. And we'll try to make it through it all. Okay, so First of all is our lost identity, our identity apart from Christ, our state before Christ. And this is summed up in Ephesians 2, 1 through 3 that we were talking about here. And basically, our identity is just summed up in one word, dead. Dead. Romans 6, 23 says, the wages of sin is death. And we are all sinners. We are all sinners. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and what he's called us to be. And I mean, as it talks about in here, you were dead in your trespasses and in your sins. That's who we were, following the ways of this world, essentially. Dead in our sins, physically alive, but spiritually dead, with no hope, no future, nothing to look forward to. You see, contrary to what a lot of popular science and philosophy teaches, we are not good by nature. People are not good by nature. You look at children unchecked, you look at the world left unchecked, apart from God, and it just drifts into chaos more and more and more. We are not good by nature. We are sinners inclined to follow whatever seems right in our own eyes. And you see that in the New Testament. Whenever Israel was left to itself, they would just seek to do what was right in their own eyes, fulfill their own pleasures, living a life in rebellion to God. And that's what we do apart from him. It's like dying salmon just being swept downstream into the ocean, just going with the flow of the world. That's who we are. And that's who I was apart from Christ. I remember as a high schooler laying awake in bed and just laying in my bed thinking about death and eternity and freaking myself out to the point of tears because I had no hope and I was panicking, not knowing what happened after death, not having any hope. And I had a right to be terrified. I had a right to be terrified. And that led to fear and depression. I mean, why I would lose myself in fantasy and daydreams and things like that, because it was an escape from the reality of fear and depression that comes with a lost identity. If you have a lost identity, man, you want to get away. You want to get out of it, experience something different. Try money, wealth, fantasy, whatever it is, sex, drugs, anything to escape the reality of who you are, because the reality of who you are, apart from Christ, is not a good one. It's not a good one. So that's where I was at. And then God intervened, which is the beauty of it. And what I pray happens for everybody. I remember my dad gave me a Bible in high school, and I started reading it with nobody telling me to or anything. I just started reading it on my own, and God started working in and through that. And then when I got to college, I got involved in a Bible study, and I got to really experience the beauty and the glory of who Christ was. And I became a believer, and I got this identity that we're going to talk about in a minute. And this is the second point in here, is our found identity. We have our lost identity and our found identity. And I love this. This, as we read through Ephesians here, verses 1 through 3 are all about before we are who we are before Christ. And then you get to verse 4, and you have like two of the coolest words in the whole Bible. But God. Isn't that awesome? But God. I mean, like, I was dead. I was hopeless. I was depressed. I was in fear. But God. That's just awesome. That God intervened and he changed our identity. He changed to change our present and our future. But God intervened. And that's the gospel. Because again, we were the wages of sin is death. And Jesus stepped in and took that death on our behalf. He took that cross that we deserved, that punishment that we deserve for our sins. He took that upon himself and died the death that we deserved for our sins, so that we could be made alive in Christ and resurrected in him. That's what I love. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. What an amazing thing, that transformation that Christ has done. And if you see in this Ephesians passage, circle all the times he says, in Christ Jesus, or with Christ Jesus, because there's a lot of them in there. And that's a key thing to study, who we are in Christ Jesus, who we are in Christ. It means that now he is our representative. We enjoy his benefits at his cost. And that's a beautiful thing, but it's a dependent thing. It's this utter dependency that we have on Christ. In and of myself, I am weak. I am frail. I have nothing. I am nothing. I am sinful, and I am dead spiritually. But in Christ, I am counted as holy. I am made holy by him, and I am made alive in him, which is a beautiful thing. And again, as verses 8 and 9 say in here, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no man may boast. This is not anything that we have done. Turn with me. We're going to jump over to a verse in Zechariah. Zechariah, at the end of the Old Testament, this is a sweet picture of God's grace for us. It's Zechariah 3, 1 through 5. And this is a cool one. And the Lord, and he, that's the Lord, this is a vision Zechariah had, showed me Joshua, who was the high priest at the time, standing before the angel of the Lord and Satan, and Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him. And the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, O Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is not this a brand plucked from the fire? Now Joshua was standing before the angel, clothed with filthy garments. And the angel said to those who were standing before him, remove the filthy garments from him. And to him he said, behold, I have taken your iniquity away from you, and I will clothe you with pure vestments. And I said, let them put a clean turban on his head. So they put a clean turban on his head and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord was standing by. It's an awesome picture of God's grace to us. Because you have this scene, almost like this courtroom scene. And you have Joshua, who was the high priest at the time, standing there. And Satan's there, and he's leveling all these accusations against Joshua. And honestly, I'm sure they're true. All of his sins being brought up and thrown in his face. And that's what Satan does. He is the accuser, throws all of our past in our face, all of our mistakes in our face. And they're true. We can't deny him. We can't walk away from him. And he's dead. And then God steps in. And I love this. And he talks about we're dead in our sins because he describes Joshua as a brand plucked from the fire. He was dead in the fire. And God brought him out. And this is a fun imagery. He says, now the angel was standing, and Joshua was standing before the angel, clothed with filthy garments. If you actually looked up that word filthy, it means covered in poop, literally. I mean, he was defiled and he was covered in poop. This was gross, nasty, and that was his sins. That is our sins. That is our sins. It is not a pretty picture. We need a clearer idea of the ugliness and horror of our own sins. Oh, I pray that me and all of us would have that. The ugliness of that. And then you see God intervened and said, no, I have plucked him from the fire. And I love how he describes in there, I have taken your iniquity away from you, and I will clothe you with pure vestments. And has the angel take those dirty clothes off Joshua and clothe him with clean clothes. And it's an amazing picture, because what does Joshua do in any of this? What does Joshua do? Nothing. He stands there. I mean, he doesn't have a dialogue. He doesn't have a word in this. He doesn't even take off his old clothes and put on the new clothes. It's all a work of God. It's all what God does to him. And he puts on these new clothes on him to symbolize holiness, not because he has earned it, but because God has given it to him. God made him holy. I love that. So that's part of our identity in Christ. We are made holy in him. But wait, that's not all. This is like a telemarketing commercial. I mean, there's like benefits in here, man. If you sign up today, you can get this free Ginsu knife set. But wait, that's not all, because we're also adopted as children of God. And I'll try to cover these somewhat quickly, but we are also adopted as children of God, another benefit, not just made holy. I'm going to jump in here to Galatians 4, 4 through 7. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are his sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through Christ. So not only has God made us holy, but he's adopted us as his children, sinners in rebellion against him. God has taken us in and adopted us as his children. And that just shows this acceptance, this deep love. It's not just, "Ooh, you're forgiven, bye, good luck." But God welcomes us into his house, accepts us, loves us. Now, again, not because we're worthy of love, but because he chooses to love us. That legal relationship is covered through Christ's death for us. And now this family relationship is restored as we are now in Christ as his children. I love that. And it gives us a purpose. We are created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We have a purpose in life, to walk in the good works that God has prepared beforehand that we should walk. God has things for us to do, a life for us to lead. He's got a plan for our lives, as they say so often. He truly does. But wait, there's more. That's not all. Also, our eternity is secured in Christ, and it is filled with hope. Filled with hope. Back to Ephesians, he says, he's seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. What does that look like? I have no idea, really. But I think it's going to be pretty amazing. We'll spend eternity exploring the greatness and goodness of who God is. What an amazing thing. And I mean, people use this word hope, like we have this hope of heaven. And honestly, it's a hard word for us to use because we don't use it very well, as the Bible talks about. I mean, we use it like, "I hope it's sunny out today," or something like that. And look, it is sunny out today. Yay. In Homer, we take those for granted. When we say, "I hope it's sunny," because it really is a hope, because we have no idea. But we hope. It's just wishful thinking. But that's not what this is talking about. This kind of hope that we have in Christ, it's a confident expectation. It's a planned event, a planned future event. It's a planned fact. That's what this hope that we have in Christ is. It's not just, "Oh, I wish we could go to heaven. I think we will. I think I can. It's this, "I know this is my future. It is secure and it is planned. And I am longing for it, confident expectation. And in that, we do not need to fear death, but we look forward to it in God's timing." Just real briefly, I remember just a cool story from me. I shared with you my fear of death growing up. And a few years back, God brought me face to face with that when, long story, and I can tell it later, but I had this cancer scare, basically, where I had this lump on my neck and had CT scans and all this. And the doctor said 90% that I had lymphoma. And that's a scary spot to be at. I mean, where God brought me to this place where I'm staring death in the face. And it was just an amazing thing that God brought me there. Ah, blast, this is what happens when I get to preach about myself and what God's bringing me through. But amazing thing that God brought me to that. Because in the past, as an unbeliever, I would have panicked, freaked out, not knowing what to do. But now, I could stare it in the face. And I could smile. Because I knew God had me. And regardless of what happened, I would be okay. What a cool thing. I think God just wanted to show off what he'd done in my life, so I had to bring that about. And there's so many more benefits to our identity in Christ, and I pray that you'll take the time, study him out and seek him out. But now we're going to get into our mistaken identity. Mistaken identity, because I wish that, I mean, we have this experience, we come to faith in Christ, and I pray that it would be like this, all of us, then this happily ever after. We embrace Christ, we choose to have faith in him, and then we walk hand in hand with Christ through all eternity and live happily ever after. If any of you guys have been Christian more than a week, then you know that's not the case. Life happens and circumstances happen, and it's not a happily ever after. It's not a ride into the sunset. But Satan and our own sin get in the way too often. And that's what happened to me. And one event that really shaped my, or impacted me a lot that God brought to mind during my sabbatical time away was I used to work at this building down in Idaho, and there was this older guy that was at this building, and he would come in there a lot. Retired guy, he'd play on the piano in there and hang out, and we'd talk a lot, and got to know him, and I understood him to be a strong Christian guy, and I really looked up to him. I had Jewish backgrounds and a lot of knowledge and a lot of wisdom, and I really got to respect him, and we had a lot of conversations over the years. And then a number of years later, we were just, I think, just riding up in an elevator talking, and he just said, "Hey, Matt, I just felt like I needed to tell you, the Lord showed me that you're not going to make it, that I wasn't going to get to heaven." And hopefully none of you guys ever had that experience or anybody tell you that. Oh, Lord, help you. Because it hurts, especially when it's somebody that you respect and looked up to. And he said that, and I, what do you say? I don't know. It impacted me. And I mean, I had all the right theology. Like, I could quote everything about, no, I've accepted faith in Christ and blah, blah, blah. But that hit me, and that, for some reason, set me down this path, and this fear crept back into me about death and eternity, and it changed my trajectory a little bit in life, where suddenly I was striving to earn this salvation. I was going to try to be the best Christian I could be so that I could prove that I was going to heaven, so there wasn't going to be any doubt about it. I would prove that I would go to heaven. So I was finding my identity now in accomplishments, in Christianity, and in work, and in life, and in family. Driven to succeed in everything. That was my goal, was to be successful. And if I wasn't successful, to at least appear that I was. Put on this front. And whenever I wasn't successful, about being a good worker, a good family man, a good Christian. And the fruit of this identity started coming into my life where I became terrified of failure. Because there was this depression that would happen when I failed, because my identity failed along with it, because I was setting my identity in works. Who am I if I'm not good at this? If I'm not good at Christianity, who am I? And I became reliant on other people's approval, because that would affirm my success if they spoke good things about me. And I started comparing myself to others. Anybody done that? Compare yourself to others or struggle with that? It's a dangerous thing to do. I encourage you, if you struggle with that, man, seek the Lord and repent and ask his forgiveness and ask for change. It was a way to judge my level of success. But if you do it, you only get two results out of it. Either you come away prideful, I'm better than him, or discouraged, man, I'm not as good as that person is. Neither of those are where God wants you to have. Neither of those are godly emotions or responses. And in and through that, I became prideful in being an elder at church and prideful about being a life group leader, because it means I was successful as a Christian. Like there could be anything like successful as a Christian. I was failing to see the ugliness of my sins, and I was rejecting the beauty of the grace of God, that by my successes I could gain God's approval. And that is one of the definitions of foolishness. Trying to look inside of ourselves to feel better about ourselves. We'll never get there. All we'll find is a sin nature, weak and frail apart from Christ, that will fail us. Like I mentioned before, without Christ, I am nothing and I have nothing to offer my holy God. So I encourage you to think about what are you setting your identity in? Maybe it's success in work, sports, fishing, snow machining. Maybe it's in fantasy and something like that, gaming or anything like that. Social media, popularity. Maybe it's success at work or anything. Maybe it's finances, getting rich. Relationships with somebody of the opposite gender, or just relationships in general, being popular or well-known. Maybe it's ministry. Maybe it's family. Things that are good that Satan can twist. That we're setting our identity in who we are in that, and who we are in ministry. You see, any identity apart from the one Christ gives us through faith in him will always fail us, because circumstances, other events, others, and most of all ourselves are going to fail us and come up short. And that when we get to the turnaround, the restored identity, where God steps in, and that's what God did in my heart and through this sabbatical time that God gave me, as he restored that identity. And I praise God for the gifts of repentance and conviction and the family, like we've talked about in the open mic here, that came around and spoke into my life and challenged me and encouraged me. And I had great times of repentance with the Lord through that time. And he opened my eyes to see this wrong identity and the sin in my heart. And it drew me back to who I was in Christ. That my failures and successes do not define me. They don't define any of us. I am not approved or rejected by God based on any of the successes or failures. I'm accepted and loved because of Christ and his grace towards me. And it's hard to receive that grace. It really is. We live in a production-oriented society where we have to earn. I mean, it's a production equals reward culture. And that's not how God works. It's faith equals reward. It's just receiving God's grace, knowing that we are not good enough, that we could never earn it. We have to give up our pride that thinks we have anything to offer God. Give that up and admit, God, I just need your grace. I just need your grace. I'm desperate for your grace. That's what it takes. And that's hard to receive sometimes. That's hard. We need to abandon that idea of finding anything in and of ourselves that we can do to make it acceptable to God. We can't do anything to make ourselves acceptable to God, to earn our salvation. Just receive that Christ already has made us acceptable. He already has adopted us. And it's not by works, it's through faith, his unearned grace to us. And when we see that, it leads us to understand our desperate need for his grace and for his love. That's the only platform that we have to stand on, and is his grace and love. That is our identity. And he gives that to us freely, not because of works, as Ephesians talks about, because of grace. Our works will always fail us. Anytime we try to earn God's grace, that will always fail us. But God's grace will never fail us. And that's what we need to receive. We're accepted in him through that. We need to fall back on our identity in Christ, that in Christ we are loved, accepted, holy, adopted children with a sure, confident hope and future. I love this quote from that Who Am I book. He says, on my worst days, I am never beyond the reach of grace. And on my best days, I am never beyond the need of grace. Amen. My best days, I'm never beyond the need of grace, and we never can fall far enough that we're beyond God's reach. So where did all of this lead me to? It led me to a fresh recognition that my identity is simply this. I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm a sinner saved by grace. And I'm still working that out. Trust me, I'm not up here on the mountain like, woohoo, I made it, guys. God and I are strolling into the sunset. I'm still working on this every day. I mean, you'll see me struggle with it probably if you get to know me. I'm working it out daily through repentance, through seeking Christ daily. I'm struggling. I'm not up here preaching because I've made it. I'm not up here preaching because I'm a better Christian than anybody else. There's no such thing as a better Christian. No such thing. There are some who may be more mature in some ways, but in the end, we're all just sinners saved by grace. And that's what I am. And that's the beauty of what God has done, is I'm a sinner saved by grace. And that's all I'm ever going to be. But the beauty is that that's all I ever need to be. So the fruits of this life, what does that look like? I mean, what fruits should this bear in our life? One, it should help us to see the sin and ugliness of who we are, of our own sin, compared to an all-holy and awesome God. And that should lead us to a greater and greater appreciation of his grace for us. When we recognize how desperately we need God's grace, that will lead us to appreciate it all the more. And it leads to this peace, because we don't have to strive to be good enough. I love just praising God now. I mean, I try to praise him about every day just for the miracle of my salvation. How often do you do that? Do you just stop and thank you, Jesus, for my salvation? man, I need to do it more often. And it leads to a fresh holiness in my own life. See, grace is no excuse for sin. We still need holiness. We still need to be walking in holiness. But it's not out of a desire. It's not because we need that to be accepted by God. We walk in holiness out of love for our Savior because we are accepted by Him. And that's a beautiful truth. And I can go out in ministry and sharing my faith with others now because I'm more secure in that relationship with Christ. I know who I am in Christ, a sinner saved by grace. And my devotions can be so much more rich and full because I come to God desperate for Him. I love that. And then out of love for Him, when I don't have the emotions there that I love Jesus, I want to do my devotions, I know I've got the need there. I need to do my devotions because I'm desperate for Him. A few things to ponder as we look at this. Where are you putting your identity in right now? What is your identity in right now? If it is anything apart from the identity that Christ gave you, it will fail. What do you put your identity in? What do you put your worth in? What are you trying to do to be acceptable to God? And where do you need to repent and restore your identity in Christ? Ask Him to show you and take that time and have that repentance. And if you're not a believer, your identity is that you're dead in your sins with no hope and no future. I've been there. So I pray that you would see the beauty and the glory of what Christ has done for you and that you would put your faith in Him. Go up to the prayer teams and ask them to pray for you and step into the new identity that Christ has for you. I want to share one verse with you and we'll do communion here. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, He took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." And that's the beauty of communion. It brings us back to the gospel to remind us that we are sins and failures in and of ourselves, that Christ took the penalty for our sins on the cross, His body broken for us. And in communion, we get to celebrate the new identity that He's given to us through this new covenant that He talks about, sealed with His blood shed on our behalf. Whereon we take on His holiness, we are loved and accepted children of God with an eternal hope and future. So again, we'll open it up to come and partake. Don't rush. Ponder those questions. What is my identity in Christ? And then come, and as you partake of communion, experience afresh the identity that He's given you. Father, we just thank You so much for the grace that You have on us, Father. Thank You for the beauty of Your love, for Your sacrifice for us, Lord. Thank You that You took our identity of death and sin and replaced it with one of holiness and life and love and acceptance, Father. And I just pray that we would live our lives in loving gratitude for the beautiful thing that You have done for us, Father God, that we would follow You with all of our hearts, not holding back, for You are our Savior. You are our King, Father. Thank You for Your grace to us, Father. Let us walk in it every day of our lives, Lord, that we get to be with You for eternity. We love You, Jesus. And all God's people said, Amen. 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 Thank you all. God bless you guys. Have a great week.